Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. As always, delighted to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Right to the phone lines, talk to Eric. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks. I was actually just calling. I'm trying to find out what my spiritual gifts are, and I was wondering if you could point me in the direction where to go with that.
Well, I think one of the things that you do is you find out what you're really good at doing in the first place. And oftentimes that coincides with your giftedness, which is to say some are teachers, some are encouragers, some have leadership capabilities, some can prophesy. If you look at Romans chapter 12, Paul lists a great deal of these spiritual gifts, and he says that we have to exercise them in accordance to our faith. So whatever our gift is, we need to exercise that gift as opposed to trying to exercise someone else's gift. But I think a lot of this comes out in the wash, which is to say that as you move through life, you find out those areas of giftedness. I mean, I have a lot of kids, and I can look at my kids and recognize individual gifts in those kids. And if one of the kids was trying to exercise the gift of another kid, it would be obvious that they're in bad territory in which they couldn't succeed, because again, this isn't their giftedness.
Makes sense. Yes, sir.
Does that help?
It definitely does help. It gets me started in one direction. I appreciate it, sir.
You got it. Thanks for your call, Eric. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason, Littleton, Colorado, listening on the web. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Doing well. Just curiosity. Obviously, besides the Bible, I was wanting to ask you, what books have really influenced your theological thinking?
Well, first and foremost, what I've tried to do in terms of theological thinking is develop a paradigm with respect to the art and science of biblical interpretation, and that's why I talk about this over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. How one interprets the Bible is critically important, and therefore, I've stressed on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that we need to understand that hermeneutics, or the art and science of biblical interpretation, is a science in that principles apply. It's an art in that the more you apply those principles, the better you get at it. So the whole issue for me has been not so much the books that I read, but the method by which I interpret Scripture. There are people that want to interpret the Scripture literalistically. But when you think about that logically, it doesn't make any sense. If you say, this means that, you're already interpreting in some sense what this means. And so you're not taking a wooden, literal, interpretive process to begin with, because if you did, you wouldn't have to say this is that. If the Bible says the great whore of Babylon sits on many waters, you would say, well, what does it mean that she sits on waters? Well, water is water. I'm going to take that purely literal sense, so I'm not going to interpret it in any way whatsoever. Of course, if you do that, you're doing violence to the text, because John tells us what he means by water, and it isn't just pure water.
Right, right. Well, I know I've asked a number of other Christian leaders, and more often than not, like, for example, C.S. Lewis's book Mere Christianity pops up on the list, and so really that's just kind of what, and I've read Lewis's Mere Christianity, and I think it's a great book. So that's really kind of like I was, reason I was asking you, maybe your top five or something like that, or
Well, I read prolifically, so I'm constantly involved in reading books and have done so for many decades. And I think that's obviously a wise thing to do, because we're pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants. And so we can benefit from what other people have written and learn from them. And of course, I'm obviously doing that on an ongoing basis by reading lots and lots of books. But to boil it down to my top five, I probably had to sit down and think about it for a while. One of the things I wanted to mention as well in this regard is there are a lot of tools that I have talked about in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Study tools, for example, study Bibles that are good and study Bibles that are not so good, commentaries that I would advise you use and those that I would advise you don't use, concordances, Bible dictionaries, books on systematic theology, and many other Bible study tools. So there are a list of those study tools in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. All right. Well, I have that book, so probably just need to go and look at the back part of it and see what you mentioned. Thanks so much, Hank.
You got it, man. Thank you for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Susan. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I have a friend who's involved in spiritual formation classes, and I have not read anything in the journal that I could remember on it, but the little bit that I tried to get information on it, it bothered me. And I also understand that it's spreading through evangelical churches like wildfire, and I'm just concerned. I wanted to get your opinion on it.
Well, I think this boils down to what you're already exemplifying, and that is the issue of discernment, because some spiritual formation classes are very, very good. Others are, as you're alluding to, atrocious. And remember, we're not called to make converts, but disciples. And a disciple is a learner or follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we should learn to live the normal Christian life. In other words, we are in need of spiritual formation, and that spiritual formation is a function of spiritual disciplines, such as reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, mining the Word of God for all its wealth. Of course, reading the Bible and speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ or to the Father or to the Holy Spirit in prayer is inextricably woven together with partaking in the Word of God. Spiritual disciplines also involve worship, evangelism, apologetics, serving, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, and I'm sure I'm missing a lot of spiritual disciplines, but off the cuff, those are all spiritual disciplines that help our spiritual formation. So again, I agree with you. Some spiritual formation classes are atrocious because their presuppositions are atrocious, and some are very good because they're pointing us to living out the normal Christian life. In fact, there's a book by that title written by Watchman Nee, which I think is extraordinarily helpful in this regard.
Right. Okay, well, I do have some books by Watchman Nee, so I'll look at my library and see if I have what you're speaking about. I appreciate this. I know that her first assignment was to think back about when she felt the closest to God and when she felt the furthest away from God. I didn't really see anything wrong with that. you know, because a lot of times we're surprised that we actually feel closer when we're going through suffering. And a lot of people don't, you know, they don't think of that off the bat. And I thought, well, this might be good. But what I saw in my research looked like it tended towards some kind of mysticism or inner healing or, you know, inner thoughts and kind of getting into a new age area. And that's what bothered me.
Yeah, again, if the precedent is not a biblical precedent, and that's where the discernment comes in that you're exemplifying, if it's not a biblical worldview, it's outside of a biblical worldview, but it's lightly papered over with Christian terminology, a lot of people can't tell the difference. And so, again, discernment is critical. It is what our ministry is all about. It's teaching people discernment skills so you can discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, because not everything that sounds good is good. So you do well to apply those principles of discernment, as you're quite obviously doing.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. We'll be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In part two, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our callers. Next up is Jim. He's listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Hank. Just had a question. You've mentioned many, many times about the problem of evil being one of the strongest objections to Christianity. And William Lane Craig, he holds to, I believe, like a middle knowledge of divine foreknowledge, you know, when it comes to things like evil and why does God allow evil? And, you know, if he's all-powerful, you know, why does he allow it? I was just curious what your viewpoint was on the middle knowledge view or Molinism as it relates to divine foreknowledge and evil.
Well, you know, it's consistent with biblical teaching. It's the doctrine that God can know what free choices individuals will make in whatever circumstance they may find themselves, even if those conditions don't materialize. So, yeah, I mean, it's a perfectly orthodox way of looking at things. But, you know, my view has always been that we can know something about the past. In fact, know it exhaustively, having experienced it ourselves, seeing it firsthand, without being the causal agent of what we know about. And with God, we simply have to say that God can not only look in the rearview mirror, but he can look forward as well and know what is going to happen in the future without being the causal agent of what is actually happening, which is to say that we as free creatures still make choices and those choices really count.
And how would you answer, just from like a pastoral standpoint, when somebody, you know, somebody was to ask me, you know, well, what do you, where was your God in Auschwitz, or where was your God in Newtown, or something like that? How would you answer that question?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. The first thing I would say is this, that God created the potential for evil by creating people with freedom of choice, and people of their own choices actualize that evil. So God is not the author of evil. Rather, God creates the potential for evil. And out of that, he creates the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we'll forever be able not to sin. Secondly, if God were to take all evil out of the world right now, that would mean that he would have to eradicate all of us because all of us are desperately wicked according to the Bible. So God instead has determined a time in the future in which he is going to separate the wheat from the tares, a time in which he's forever going to dispense with the problem of sin and suffering and evil and decay and disease and the like, even death in the ultimate sense. So God, again, is going to create out of this world the best of all possible worlds. In the meantime, we have the assurance biblically that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes, which is to say that God can bring good out of the most horrifying circumstances. And we see so many anecdotal stories that underscore that reality. I mean, you think about Corrie ten Boom, who famously said, "There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still," you know, in her Dutch brogue. I'm Dutch myself, so that resonates with me anyway. And so she talks about how God, in the cauldron of adversity and suffering, can bring good and create a wonderful circumstance that is completely unanticipated. So we have to always point to the fact that God entered into our suffering in the person of Christ, and in his suffering and death on the cross, he participates. He knows what we're going through. He travels through the veil of our tears, and he understands our suffering. and in that we can take solace and know that it is in the cauldron of adversity that we can experience the Lord, sometimes in a far greater sense than we can on the mountaintop. And we don't live for mean earthly vanities. We ultimately live for eternal verities. So we're looking forward not to a panacea in this world, but we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
Hey, Hank, I just wanted an editorial comment. I just wanted to say thank you. I heard you about 6 years ago, the first time on the radio, talking about apologetics, and I'd really never heard anything about that before at all. And since then, I've gone on to Biola University and their distance learning program and gotten a master's degree in apologetics. So I just want to say thank you personally, because I probably would have never done that. I wouldn't have heard you on the radio. So thank you very much.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jim. I can truly say you've made my day.
All right. Thanks, Hank.
Bless you, my friend. And by the way, this whole issue of why God allows bad things to happen to good people is perhaps the most common question that Christians are asked to answer, and sometimes publicly. And at first, it might seem as though there are as many responses as there are religions, but in reality, there are only three basic responses that anyone can give. The first is pantheism, the second is philosophical naturalism, and the third is theism. In pantheism, you have the denial of good and evil, because in that view, God is all and all is God. In philosophical naturalism, and by the way, that's the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, there's the presupposition that everything is a function of random processes to begin with, and therefore there is no such thing as good or evil. Theism alone, and that's the third possibility, has a relevant response, and only Christian theism can answer the question satisfactorily. And that's why we shouldn't shy away from this question. We should embrace it and the worldview that undergirds it. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Charles in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Hank. I wanted to know, how do you know who to actually marry, and what is the biblical precedent to choosing a marriage partner, and what happens if you have several people who meet the criteria?
Well, you got to choose the best one. You know, and the fact of the matter is, when you talk about two different people, I mean, it's like hiring someone. You have two different people that can both do the job, but one is going to be better than the other. And I think in the same way, the situation is usually one in which God leads through people and through circumstances within the purview of biblical parameters, which is to say you can never choose someone and be unequally yoked with that someone and be within the context of a biblical worldview. Because the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, because if you are, you're going to face all kinds of difficulties in that marriage. But given that you're equally yoked, I mean, and you have two possible persons, you're looking for all kinds of signs of compatibility. That doesn't mean that you're going to be identical. If two people are identical, one of them is probably unnecessary. You know, you need different personalities in a marriage to rub the rough edges off one another. That's part of the process as well. But God leads through people and through circumstances and through prayer and through interaction with the person. You find a commonality and a deep sense of identity that becomes, I would think, self-evident.
Okay. Thanks, Hank.
You got it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dion. Hi, Dion.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've kind of had a question with you, Mr. Hank. I come across a lot of different, you know, religions, and it seems like I get into a debate when it comes about baptism, you know, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that we are supposed to be baptized in Jesus' name, you know, and Peter said in Acts 2:38 that, you know, repent, be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why do we have churches who baptize in the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost? I mean, it's not no proof in the Bible where that happened. But, I mean, it's all throughout the Bible where you can see that they baptize in Jesus' name. So I just kind of want to get your understanding of why is it that much division when the Bible clearly states how we should baptize.
Well, what the Bible's saying is that we are to be baptized by the authority vested in the one true God who is revealed in Scripture, and therefore to be baptized in the name of Jesus is to be baptized on the basis of our belief in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So when a law officer commands someone to stop in the name of the law, the power is not in that phrase, but in the authority it signifies. In the same way, when a physician provides someone who is sick with a prescription, their trust is not in the paper, but rather in the potion to which the paper points. And that's the way it is with baptism. The power is not in prescribed formulas, but in the heavenly physician to whom the act of baptism points. And this is where the Oneness Pentecostals, and you're alluding to this, whole error, make their mistake. And I often talk about this as error begetting error. The belief that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led many within Oneness Pentecostalism to a further error, and that is that Jesus is Himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And so they have now come to the notion that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy, and they baptize in the name of Jesus only. Remember, the real issue is the authority to which that points. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out online at equip.org. And we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.